Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
There's a couple of things for Daniel Jones. Number one is that this is why you believe me and you and don't believe Dave Gettleman. All we heard all offseason was Daniel Jones may not play for years. The best case scenario is if Daniel Jones sits all year and Eli Manning plays. This is what John Mara said. And we told you that's always a load of crap because number one picks, quarterbacks, always play. And they play sooner rather than later. If they're the higher they're taken, the quicker they're out there. And I knew that Eli was going to get a hook. We said over under week four, and it turned out to be the under you got week three. So we were right on it.
I was thinking
where they were
seven
going to make the change.
Because then he would have gotten one more matchup with Brady.
Well,
and then you're at halfway point. You've truly recognized how bad you are.
Yeah, but But they can't give away the season, because if they give away another season, Pat Shurmur's not getting another year. How good is Dave Gettleman? We have no idea. Should he stay as the GM? These guys want to continue to have jobs in New York, and they knew that they're going nowhere with Eli Manning. And if you waited, because you would have to wait another 3 weeks, because the Giants have a tough schedule coming up where they have three games in 15 days,
right.
And that's where you would really normally want to make the move, is after that Thursday night game that they play coming up in week five. But you're talking about being 0-5 at that point, and the season is over. So let's make the move now, because you got a soft game coming up against Tampa Bay. It's on the road. Don't have to worry about any other controversy or, oh boy, are we playing at home, too much pressure for him. On the road against Tampa Bay, it's not going to get any better than that. So the call was made here. We told you it was going to happen, and it's the right call, because Eli Manning has been done for a long time. His overall record in the NFL now is back to an even 500. This shows you the downward spiral he's been on the past few years. I'm honestly stunned he came back for this year, because you knew that things were going poorly and he wasn't going to suddenly get it. You look at this season and the Giants basically said, well, we got Saquon Barkley. Yeah, we're not going to go spend money because now we're tanking, because we're going to wait and we're going to get another pick. And by the time Daniel Jones, our quarterback, comes in, we're going to have a team that's locked and loaded and ready to go. I'm really surprised he didn't see the handwriting on the wall that he would be okay going out like this, sitting on the sideline, because he's not going to get that job back unless Daniel Jones gets injured. It is his job now until Daniel Jones proves I can't do it over a period of time, which would be at least the rest of this year and one more year. So I'm really surprised Eli said, yep, I'll hang out for one more year, when you know this is what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the curiosity in it, right? There's been a lot of argument today of, oh, you should have been and let go with dignity and whatever in the offseason. He chose to come back, right? He could have walked away, could have retired and said, okay, you know what? It's time for the changing of the guard. Because if it was ever going to happen, that resurgence, look at the roster they had last year before they got rid of Odell Beckham Jr., right? You had him, you had Shepard, you had Ingram, you had Saquon Barkley, you had all of it. You still had a terrible, deplorable offensive line, and your defense still stinks. You still haven't fixed any of those things. So Eli, unfortunately, becomes the sacrificial lamb in all of this, because you could put the shiny new object and at least for a moment obscure how badly you've constituted a roster.
No, look.
Because that's Daniel Jones goes in. I mean, and eventually Golden Tate comes back and whatever. And maybe it looks a little better and you can put some lipstick on the pig. But in the end, you've still got a bad offensive line and a terrible defense.
It was the same team you had last year. You didn't make any real big improvements. Do you really think Eli Manning was suddenly going to make it? And look, I guess it's poetic that he loses the job how he got it back in 2004 when Kurt Warner was ineffective and fumbling, and they said, okay, it's Eli Manning's turn. But he had to know this was what was going to happen this year. And to still come back and say, this is what I want, instead of, hey, let me go to another team or I'm going to retire. I mean, he had to see that. I don't get why he was okay. Look, he's a great teammate, so it's not like it's going to be so awful. Not going to talk about how I want my job back and I'm going to not help Daniel Jones prepare. But still, just to see a guy who's probably going to the Hall of Fame finish like this is just really weird. It's just really weird to see.
He'll be a Jet before long. But think about it. Eli, Breeze, and Ben with those monster streaks all end the same week.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You really haven't heard a breakdown of a potential battle quite like this. So Mike Leach today was asked about, well, let me just say this. If you've ever wanted to hear Mike Leach break down who he thinks would win in a battle of Pac-12 mascots, today is your lucky day.
First of all, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down, unless we're going to go with a bird and somebody might get pecked or something. I don't know. The duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. You know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a Sun Devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
Yeah, coach.
That's pretty good. That's
a good breakdown.
I got to say, that's a breakdown.
I'm trying to remember the movie that I watched as a child. My uncle always cited it because they did a whole thing on nature. And it was about the beaver being the smartest animal in nature. So perhaps the beaver can outsmart everybody.
No, look, here's where I agree with Mike Leach's breakdown, where I disagree with Mike Leach's breakdown. You look at the North, all right? That's the bears, the ducks, the beavers, the huskies, the tree. I mean, the tree is kind of
stuck. The tree sucks anyway.
And you have the cougars.
Take the band with
you. All right? So the tree is out, and the duck is out. Yeah. And the beaver is out, because the beaver to try to hit you with its tail, forget it. That's not doing anything.
Well, I don't know.
So you're talking about
knock that dam down and take you all out.
You're talking about a bear, a cougar, and a husky. All right, cougar's going to take the husky because the cougar's much tougher.
Especially at the bar, the cougars always win.
Last call, the cougar's winning. Oh yeah, yeah. So then you're talking about a cougar versus a bear. I take the bear.
Well, you got to take the bear.
So Cal is the winner of the North. In the mascots.
There you go. Right? In your bracketology. Right.
What if you have a bow and arrow?
Doesn't matter. I think the bear would still win.
But what if you're Rambo?
Well, if you're shooting at the bear from like a tree, from an enlightened position, you might be able to win. But I would take, if it was 10 feet away, a guy with a bow and arrow and a bear, I'm taking the bear. Because unless you could unload like Legolas, who was just like zoom, 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 zoom. Because even Hawkeye wasn't that fast.
He ran out, man.
Well, if you're
or
Hawkeye.
Or Laura Croft.
Well, yeah, nah, but Laura Croft, she's not going to be fast enough. Hawkeye, if you had one of those super bows, arrows that he has, it would like blow stuff up. All right, maybe, but I'm going under the assumption that you don't have the Hawkeye
just,
stuff.
Just the straight right. up arrow. Okay.
All right, so I'm going with a bear out of the North. Now you get to the South. USC Trojan is a guy with a sword and a shield, so okay.
Or a bow and arrow.
Sun Devil.
Or a condom.
True. Could just be a guy with a condom.
Ready for the slide over, maybe an hour early.
You want to hook up or what? Then you have the Sun Devil. Come back to the Sun Devil. The Ute is the same thing, bow and arrow on a horse. Wildcat, buffalo, and a Bruin. All right, so now, really, I don't think that the Tommy Trojan or the Ute or the Bruin or the Wildcat would have anything to do and be able to beat the Buffalo. All right, so now you're talking about Colorado and Arizona State.
Yeah, but if you got the bow and arrow, you're taking down the Buffalo.
I don't think you are, though. I think
you don't think so?
It's tough. Well, you got to hit the Buffalo in the face. It could just like glance
right between the eyes.
I don't think you can. That's a tough thing to
do. That's a tough shot.
So it would come down to
banking on Hawkeye being there.
The Buffalo and the Sun Devil. And the Sun Devil wins because it's a Sun Devil.
Well, as Mike Leach so astutely pointed out,
really,
you got to get the people from the Harry Potter world
but think
to
about
break
it.
That one down.
The Sun Devil may be the most powerful mascot in all of college. What would win between a Sun Devil and a Blue Devil? Those are the two most powerful mascots there are. So I got to say, not only are you talking about Pac-12, but the Sun Devil might beat I got to think a Sun Devil's more powerful than a Blue Devil unless you fight at night.
But I think the Blue Devil would whine you to death.
But if you fight at night, maybe the Sun Devil doesn't have powers.
But the Blue Devil would feel entitled to his spot in the pecking order, and he would do everything to keep you down.
He'd
whine about any potential disadvantages in the fight.
That would probably happen to
you. You hear Coach K's voice in your
you're
head
storming
right now,
the court.
You?
Why are you storming the court against us? This is not right when we lose in a battle. Now, I can see the Blue Devil whining about
so
that.
So perhaps he gains an advantage that way.
I think the Sun Devil probably is the most powerful mascot in all of sports, college sports.
Wow, that's...
Yeah.
That's
going
big.
Greek on us.
That's a big deal.
We might
that's
have to go
deal.
full on, you know, bracketology. Mike Leach just did the Pac-12. I mean, if we expand
Should we do the other conferences?
Oh, if we expand the other conferences.
Oh, that's an idea. That's an idea. We're going to do that throughout the rest of the night tonight. We're
Power 64, baby.
See who the best team in the SEC really is.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Jalen Ramsey, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, shocked no one by demanding a trade, wanting out of Jacksonville. This story comes off of his behavior on Sunday when he and Doug Marrone got into it on the field following a dust-up on the sideline. And Doug Marrone's going to get fired at some point soon. Jalen Ramsey wants out. But Jalen Ramsey decided to have a press conference today and talk about this entire development of does he want out? Does he want to stay? Is he going to play Thursday night? But let Jalen Ramsey put everybody at ease.
I wanted to talk as soon as I could today just because I don't really want it to be a distraction for my teammates getting ready for a game on Thursday. And right now I'm still a part of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm happy about that. I don't want to answer every single little question that y'all got about different situations and what came about to lead to this point. I have nothing bad or negative to say at all about anybody in this building. It happens. It is what it is. I think everybody, for the most part, knows what's up. I want all my dogs to go out there and ball. I want to ball with them on Thursday. You know if I'm still here. I'm in a real good space right now. I'm at peace. Last week I came in here real positive. I'm still on that, man.
I want to play Thursday if I'm still here.
You know, well, I'm still a Jaguar.
Really
I'm happy about
play.
That.
Look, I'll play, but I really don't. I don't want to be here. I want to be someplace
just
else. But if I'm still contracted, I'd get paid. I'll play. I mean, I'm on the field. I don't want to be.
Absolutely.
But here's a list of teams I'd rather be on. But Thursday, definitely, if you need me to play.
But neither I nor my agent leaked this.
But there's other teams I really want to go to.
It's really, you know, on them. They're the ones that made it a story, not me.
Jalen Ramsey.
Here I am with my bullhorn.
Who wanted to quiet everything down, decides I'm going to have a press conference to talk about
it
instead.
I mean, he started everything with a Brinks truck, a hype man, and a very small crowd.
Look, just because he's available and he's a great cornerback, is he really worth it? Because this is a guy who realized you trade for Jalen Ramsey, who is going to want to get paid. The Jaguars want two first-round picks, which they're not getting. You know, I'd have trouble giving up a first-round pick. Good luck
Where's
if you
Trader
do that.
Bill?
Good luck if you do that.
Come on, Trader Bill got any first-rounders left?
What has Jalen Ramsey done for the past 3 years except for cause controversy that now is going to wind up in his head coach getting fired, and he's going to wind up having to be traded? This is the guy you're bringing in. All right, does any head coach be excited about bringing in Jalen Ramsey? He's going to wind up getting Doug Marrone fired at some point because now the other players don't like Doug Marrone either. Who's going to sign up to say, yes, he's a headache, let's bring him in? Because just when you think you have a cornerback who's a shutdown guy, you give Trumaine Johnson $72 million and the guy disappears and gets benched. Just because he's got that talent doesn't mean he's going to be an asset for you. Minkah Fitzpatrick, the Steelers overpaid for him, but he's a good, solid player. He's a really good cover corner. Corner will play in the slot. He will do well. Jalen Ramsey, do I even know that he's going to be happy in 6 weeks? I don't. He's too much of a powder keg. I can't do it.
He's got one more year left on his deal after this where the salary goes up. I believe it's about $13 million that he'll be owed. And he's already made it clear, as joking there, going to training camp the Brinks truck, a very bad hype man who didn't do a good job to bring anybody to his cause, mm-hmm. and the bullhorn, which I fully expected to make an appearance today, right? I like it here, unless I don't, and talking out both sides, look, I just want to play football is really the message that you get from that meandering back and forth. Look, I just want to play ball. And Marone's probably going to get fired unless he decides he's miserable and he quits. Because there is track record of that, so that could come back once again. But you're looking at a player of great talent, and what happened? You're wondering how long Antonio Brown would be out there once it was obvious the Oakland Raiders were going to move on. The Patriots swooped in. They could swoop in again here.
Oh, they're not going to first round and the third round pick for Jalen Ramsey?
No. But they waited out until the price goes down, and it's a distressed property.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports, MLB Network, baseball insider extraordinaire, John Paul Morosi, who watched tonight as Mike Yastrzemski homered in his first game in Boston for the first home run by Yastrzemski since Carl Yastrzemski hit a home run in July of 1983, off of Moose Haas. And John Paul, I know you didn't expect we were going to get Moose Haas into the show tonight, did you?
A Moose Haas reference here on the 18th of September, at least here in the Eastern time zone. Well done, my friends. And really, to me, I love the story of Mike Yastrzemski going there back to Fenway and just what that represents for baseball fans of a certain age, of any age. This is a night when you really step back and think about that. And I saw an image of Carl Yastrzemski on the field before the game speaking with Peter Gammons of MLB Network and the three of them there standing in left field in front of the monster talking about what this day represents. That's special. Now, Carl Yastrzemski is someone who hasn't really been interviewed a lot in recent years, and so just having him at the ballpark is special. The occasion is special, and it was a night that I think any baseball fan could look at that and just feel really proud about that scene and what that represents and how special baseball truly is.
All right, JP, when it gets to the drama of the race for the wild cards, the National League is tremendously interesting because not only do you have the Mets likely coming back from four down in the past week to get the wild card, you also have the fact that the Nationals only have a two-game lead on the Brewers and the Cubs when you come down to the final 10 games of the regular season here. Suddenly it was, hey, the Nationals have the number one wild card, but now it's just a two-game lead. They got two teams chasing them. How's this play out?
Well, it really is incredible. And first of all, Jason, I am still preparing, as you may recall on the show, I believe it was a month or so ago, when I said that if the Mets made the playoffs, I would actually change either my Twitter avatar or my actual appearance to be that of Mr. Met. I can't remember exactly what I promised along those lines, but there was a Mr. Met head involved with me in that way. But I probably will not have to do that because they probably are not going to make the playoffs, but just in case, I'll be ready, okay? I'll be ready, I promise.
I really just want the Nationals to get in with a 9.5 bullpen ERA when it's all said and done. I think that would be fantastic.
But well, that may happen too, Mike, but I think in general, first of all, with the NL Central, you've got to give some credit to the Brewers, the way they've played this month, 13-3, best record in the NL this month, and they've done the last week of it, of course, without Christian Yelich. They're 6-1 in the last week without their potential MVP, certainly the MVP last year, and that to me is a really nice testament to the resiliency of that club. You got to give a lot of credit to Craig Counsell and even David Sears, their GM as well, for the way that they've played here of late, and getting Brandon Woodruff back tonight. So, of course, right now, if the playoffs began today, we would have a playoff game of 163 for that second wild card spot. I always love game 163s. I covered one last year in L.A. They're so special. So I think that we're going to see both those teams standing to the very end, and I think the Brewers, at the very least, find a way to get into a game 163 or even win that spot outright. And they've done it with a really unique collection of players. They've brought in the likes of Cody Spangenberg. He's been a big big guy for them here in recent days. The bullpen has really stabilized itself. Getting Woodruff into that spot today was really big for them, too. So it's been a cast of thousands for Milwaukee here of late. They've had to do it without Yelich. They're doing it right now. And very impressive to see. The Cubs, though, you know, Darvish, I thought, was impressive tonight. There eight consecutive strikeouts. Remarkable for him. But I was a little concerned about Cole Hamels' abbreviated start last night, not really being able to get deep in the game, guys. That was a worry for me. And so at this point in time, as crazy as this would have been to say even a week ago, the Brewers just not losing without Yelich, they may have the edge right now over the Cubs there for that second wild card spot.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. John Paul Morosi, our guest. And meanwhile, for the Yankees tonight, hey, they were excited to welcome back Luis Severino. Had four innings, pitched pretty well. Excited to welcome back Dellin Betances, and now looks like he's done for the season with an Achilles injury. They were really looking forward to getting him back. You being one guy that has been part of the back end of the bullpen for a long time. How can you break down what's next for the Yankees, both when they get Severino back and now they get Betances? Lose him.
Well, Jason, to me, the turn of events is really startling for the Yankees because, they, as you mentioned, they just got him back last night, his very first outing in the entire season. So his season will consist of just that one outing in Toronto. And you look back at the replays now, and he did seem to have a bit of a foot issue on his the follow through of his second batter he faced there. Just an incredibly surprising injury there for him. But he is someone who, as you point out, they were going to count on there for a pretty significant role, probably in the seventh inning for the Yankees. But now, of course, they have to just find one more way to get big outs late in the game. They may end up relying on Domingo Germán to be a reliever, which is a bit of a surprise, not necessarily just because of this issue with Betances, but just having Germán back in the as a reliever is pretty surprising, given the fact that he's been their wins leader as a staff for the majority of the season. Severino, though, tonight I thought was very impressive, very efficient. His fastball up to 97 miles an hour for someone who had not thrown a pitch since last year's playoffs. Very impressed by Severino in that outing tonight. Of course, only four innings, but I think they'll get him built back up. The question for the Yankees is going to be just how creatively Aaron Boone can manage the pitching staff and where that meeting point comes between a starting rotation that really probably is not going to be going that deep into games, and then this bullpen that's still getting built out with the additional arms getting sent back there. Again, maybe even Jay Happ being a reliever there. Maybe even CC Sabathia, depending on how the roster plays out. So for the Yankees, it has been normal for them having all these different issues with the injuries. One more tonight. And, of course, by the way, they get Giancarlo Stanton back, they believe, in the next couple days. My question there is I realize the salary is what it is for Giancarlo, but they've played so well without him. Guys, I'm not sure where the at-bats come for him. I'm not sure that even a healthy Giancarlo Stanton makes the Yankees playoff roster. They've been that good with Stanton on the IL basically all season long.
I like that. That's a hot take. Mm. Put that out right now.
My dad would say, yeah, we don't need Stanton. That guy's been a bust since ever we got. My dad's the biggest Yankee fan in the world, JP, and that's all he wants to talk about.
And by the way, we probably have to unpack this as to how you have the Yankees and Mets in the same family and how that decision was made by you. But that's I'm going to turn it around here on the host right now. How did you become a Mets fan after your dad's a Yankee fan?
Because when I was young, I've been watching baseball since I was 4 years old. And in New York, you got both games all the time. And when I'm four, I don't really care about winning or losing. I'm just watching baseball, and I liked it.
He was colorblind.
Yeah, and you know the Yankees are on TV, and they have the black and white uniforms, and they play, but the Mets were blue and orange. They were bright blue, bright orange, and my dad said I just loved watching them more because of the colors, and that's how I wound up sticking with the Mets. That's became a Mets fan my whole life. Then they had Tom Seaver.
I was kind of hoping there was a player attached to all of it.
Yeah.
Because I've kind of ignored that question for many years here, JP.
I'm glad that we found an opportunity to ask it. That's pretty good. Now it's an official part of the show record. We've got your version of the story as to how you became a Mets fan. I think it's great. And there are a lot of people, I think, that grew up in New York and became of age as baseball fans in the 80s. It's a very interesting cast of characters there. They were the better team at that time. So I get it. No.
I was in the 70s, John Paul.
Fans.
JP, this was in the 70s. This was like 75, okay. 70s when the, Mets, when the Mets were just
guy.
Absolutely terrible. No, no, I went through a lot
this
of lean
like,
years.
Like the John Matlack era.
Yeah, I went through, some lean years, John
77,
Paul.
77, 78.
Wow, I mean, that's, so when the Yankees were the better team and to have chosen the Mets reveals what I've always known about you, my friend. You have outstanding character.
Outstanding
character,
friend.
Jason.
That is
a great decision rooted in a strong sense of self. Well done, my friend.
All right, real quick, JP, last one for you. Here in Los Angeles, everybody's looking ahead and going towards the Yankees, going to the Astros and everything else. But obviously, they've got to set up a rotation and they've got to figure out playing time, just like the Yankees.
Oh, they do. And I think certainly a couple things there. I mean, with the Astros right now for them, they get Carlos Correa back tonight, so big decisions there for them to figure out how the lineup will get situated now with Correa back after his really a season long of kind of bizarre injuries from his standpoint. For the Dodgers, though, the tough news today though that Verdugo is not going to be part of the mix until at least the NLCS, and they do have some decisions to make. I think on the pitching side for the Dodgers too. I would say right now, this will be maybe a surprise to some. I would not be surprised at all if Tony Gonsolin gets a start for the Dodgers in the first round of the playoffs and really thereafter as well. I think he has become somebody that I realize he was not a member of the opening day roster. He has been very consistent during the course of the year. I love the stuff from him. And the Dodgers seem to think that Julio Urias is better fit in the bullpen. So you may have Tony Gonsolin in the Dodger rotation in the playoffs, and you may not necessarily have Giancarlo Stanton on the Yankee playoff roster. So there you go. Those are a couple little, I know they're hot takes, but they're sure takes, and I feel good about them here on the 18th of September.
You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. That's at John Morosi, Fox Sports 1, MLB Network insider extraordinaire. JP, as always, buddy, appreciate it. And when the Mets win 10 in a row to take the wild card, we'll call you.
And we had to figure out where this Mr. Met thing is going to happen on my Twitter page, and how
sure.
I notified Twitter about my blue check mark. I'm a little worried about that. But we will cross that bridge when we come to it, my friends. I'll be ready to make good on that bet whenever I have to.
Yes. Thanks a bunch, John
See
Paul.
You,
we'll talk to you, buddy.
Guys. Thanks so much.